Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Or Florida Woman, because that's what happened here in Tampa. A drunk Florida woman ran into a barrier wall on the I-4 in Tampa. And then on Sunday, after when the trooper showed up, she grabbed his man bits and bit his leg. Yep, 25-year-old Tyshira Williams of Largo. She crashed into a barrier wall. When troopers arrived, she was impaired. They were taken into custody. She resisted, had to be physically restrained. As they tried to restrain her, she grabbed the junk of one trooper and then bit another trooper's leg. So she got charged with resisting with violence and a DUI, according to Florida Highway Patrol. I don't know why I thought that they would wear cups, but it makes sense that they don't. But now I'm like, well, golly, you know, because no way to like put one on before you go over and, you know, got to do your stop or good heavens. I don't even know. This Florida man he got in trouble because he was hiding drugs in his nose from the police. And it didn't work, as you can imagine. This was in St. Petersburg. Joel Wallace was pulled over for speeding. And this was on Miles Stretch Road in Holiday, Florida. He refused to stop originally. So it was a high-speed chase. And he just high-speed chased him right on home. He literally went home. And then apparently, while en route during the high-speed chase to his house, he tried to snort the rest of the cocaine that he had in his car. I don't know why people... You think like cheating, like flirting with death is going to be better than just get, I mean, stop it. And when they finally got him, he had white residue all over his nose. And he was telling them that he didn't have white residue all over his nose and that he didn't have any cocaine. And he had no idea why they thought he had illegal drugs or why he was attempting to conceal them, because he didn't have any cocaine, except for the fact that he literally had white powder all over his nose because he tried to snort the remainder of the cocaine. That's horrible. So he's totally in jail. A naked Florida man claims to be the devil and terrorizes women. I mean, it's 2024, so he could be. Or maybe he's Anthony Weiner. I don't know. A naked Florida man says he was the devil, terrorizes women. His name is Robert Landis Pena. He decided to break into a Florida woman's home totally butt naked and said he was the devil, according to WTVJ. And he walked into her apartment and said that he went into her bedroom, apparently broke into her apartment, went into her bedroom, told her she had to die. And then she tried to run away. He grabbed her, dragged her by her hair inside. She has a husband who wasn't there. He was at work. He began stealing her husband's underwear. This story never ends, by the way. And the neighbors ended up calling the cops because they heard all of this stuff. And then when the police showed up, the devil was still yelling and swearing. He said he was the husband because, look, would he have all this underwear if he wasn't? I'm not even kidding you. So, and then it was crazy. It's crazy. So the guy he was arrested, charged with burglary, assault, battery. I don't know, man. What in the world? You know, was it a full moon? Hurricane weather? I don't know. Stick with us. The longshoremen strike. I said last hour we were going to touch on this because we've all been through a supply chain crisis before. And we've all had issues with shipping and everything due to everything that happened with the coronavirus. Now, if you liked how Biden and Harris handled immigration at the southern border, you're going to love this one. Yeah. Well, it's the supply chain. It's a port strike. And it's going to get bad. That's all I got to say. It's going to be massively disruptive. It's going to be East Coast ports. Longshoremen are preparing to strike. From New England to Texas, the strike is set to happen early Tuesday, the first walkout of its kind in almost half a century. Freezing commercial shipping on a massive scale. And it would be the biggest disruption. This is how heavy this is. the biggest disruption to the flow of goods in and out of the country since the height of the pandemic. So even a short-lived work stoppage would snarl shipping and create havoc in supply chains for weeks. So everything from cars to electronics, food to furniture would be stuck on ships offshore. And according to analysts, each day that a strike lasts, it could cost the U.S. economy up to $1 billion. $1 billion. That's a lot. And you have Gina Raimondo as the Commerce Secretary. She was asked about this. Audio soundbite 36. Well, what is she hearing if dock workers strike and it goes on longer than a week? What are you prepared to do? Listen.
Where have you been kind of focused and hearing on what would happen if the strike goes, let's say, longer than a week?
Again, I have not been very focused on that.
So Gina Raimondo, who is literally the Commerce Secretary, hasn't been focused on it at all. Poop Booty Juice is nowhere to be found. Okay, well, I mean, who the hell is in charge? Let's see, Biden. What has Biden said? Biden was asked about the strikes. Now, he was asked about the strikes in Yemen. This is what he said to the strikes in Yemen. Audio soundbite 7.
Yeah, that's... Mr. President, will you deploy more U.S. troops to the Middle East?
Mr. President, has Netanyahu gone too far?
Any comment on the strikes in Yemen, Mr. President?
He was asked about the strikes in Yemen, and he says, well, I'm supporting the collective bargaining effort. Oh, my gosh. Well, so that's the guy who's running the country. Okay, so there's that.
Is he now? Is he?
Running the country, in air quotes. So there's that. All right, so we have no idea really what our commerce secretary is. Now, I've not been following that. That was embarrassing. This is like the... Every single time she's asked a question, she does not know about that. What was the last, like, several things? We've played, that's all the sound bites we have of her. Like, I don't know about that. I don't know. She Mariah carries it. I don't know her. So this is just weeks before the presidential campaign. Huh. You'd think Democrats would want to solve this. You would think they would. And Harris, who's the vice president, hasn't said anything, realized that as he hits the stage during the VP debate tomorrow with J.D. Vance, that's when apparently the port shutdown began. That's when the port shutdowns begin. I wonder if that's going to come up tomorrow. My gosh, Tim Walz is going to try so hard to be the everyman. We're going to talk about this. That'll be our next topic here. But it's the International Longshoremen's Association, 47,000 members, and the U.S. Maritime Alliance. They represent container carriers and port operators. All their discussions have been stalled since summer. The labor contract expires tonight. So beginning at 12:01, they could go on strike. And the longshoremen, they load and unload cargo at ports. They work the cranes that haul those containers. Those are actually super fun to watch. The big cranes that haul the containers on and off the cargo ships. They maintain the equipment. This is important stuff. And they said that the ports that they're expecting to close are major maritime hubs in New York, Baltimore, Norfolk, Savannah, and Houston. Now, on the West Coast, because some people have asked, well, is it affecting the West Coast too? It's not, because they are represented by a separate union that they had a contract agreement already last year. So the ports, like in the Pacific Northwest and in California, they're not going to be affected by this, but they could say in solidarity, we're going to refuse to handle cargo. I don't know if that would put them at odds with their I mean, they just negotiated and got a contract a year ago. So wouldn't that kind of be spitting in the face of that? I don't know. Don't you think so? Kane, is that spitting in the face of it? Are you spitting? I mean, if you're like on solidarity, even though they got a nice contract a year ago, would that be spitting in the face of it? I don't know.
Kind of.
How's that interpreted?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be interpreted both ways, but.
I would just be like, if I was a crane operator, to me, it would be a sad day when I couldn't operate a crane. Yeah. I mean, I've never done that, but to me, it's just like a giant version of that, you know, the toy thing.
And the fact that this strike is even being considered right now shows that there's actually been a long history of grievances that they've had, and it has not been addressed by anyone, let alone the administration.
Yeah. So they have no they have no way right now, nothing from the administration at handling this. So they look at, it's the International Longshoremen's Association, so it's East Coast, 36 ports, East and Gulf Coast, and it looks like everybody may have to divert to West Coast. That's, you know how much more expensive that would be? So think of it. They would have to, depending on how long it goes on with East Coast ports, shippers then may have to divert to West Coast. Think about how much more expensive that makes something that if it has to be diverted all the way around the other side of the country. And then to get it to wherever you are, prices are going to skyrocket. And how does that affect an economy that is already dealing with Bidenflation? I mean, what about factories that need parts and things like that? I mean, pull this up. This is a CNN piece that said there are shortages, higher prices, even, you know, factory parts, everything. It could actually disrupt not just, you know, more than just obviously consumption, but it could disrupt plant operations if it halts the delivery of supplies and parts for other factories. It's in New York and New Jersey. They're both affected by this. That's the third largest port by volume of cargo handled. And it also, now listen to this, it also affects places like Port Wilmington and Delaware. So Port Wilmington and Delaware, that's the banana port that brings in the biggest share of bananas to the United States. 1.2 million metric tons of bananas come through that port. 90% of cherries, imported cherries, 82% of hot peppers, 80% of imported chocolate come through all the containers offloaded at those ports, according to the American Farm Bureau. Now, it's getting scarier now. Here's where we're getting scary. This is where we're getting scary, guys. 80% gain of imported beer, wine, and whiskey, and scotch, and 60% of rum arriving at East and Gulf Coast ports. 80 and 60. Yeah. Yeah, that's the top import at the Port of New York and New Jersey. We're going to have to work with Juan to like come up with some kind of rum running operation from San Juan to Dallas.
I think you've already said too much.
I didn't say that. I was just speculating. Don't make me talk about the purge. Partners who help bring you free radio, the folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15, lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market. If you are not familiar with the P15, you need to check it out because there's nothing else quite like it. You know, it's from the people who invented the micro compact pistol category. It's ideal. Doesn't matter if you're a seasoned pro, doesn't matter if you're a newbie. Two versions, metal and the polymer. Their striker fire pistol from Kel-Tec. Metal frame has those walnut wood panels, textured grips. Polymer version has a gator grip texture. Just awesome. And it's super concealable. It's lighter and thinner than any other 9mm that I have. It comes with two magazines. One's the standard round, 15 standard round, minimal pinky extension, flush fit double stack magazine that holds 12 rounds is the second one. If you want ultra concealability, tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear, going to keep you on target, lifetime warranty. And it's just ideal for concealed carry self-defense. It's from Kel-Tec. Innovation performance Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently there are actually get out of jail free cards.
I didn't know this.
Did you know this? You didn't know this. How is that? So it's like actually a thing, apparently. So per The Hill, every police officer in New York, including retired officers, are allowed to buy a certain number of special cards issued by the union. They pay a nominal sum for the cars. They distribute them as they wish. Sometimes they can give them to family and friends. You can use them for perks like meal discounts. Sometimes they sell them. It's the Police Benevolence Association courtesy cards. Some people call them the get-out-of-jail-free cards. So the idea is when someone who has a card is pulled over for a traffic violation or approached by police for a minor offense, if you show the card to the officer, it basically lets you go on with nothing more than just a warning. I've heard of stories like this, but I don't know. I don't know if I believe it, right? Because you've got to enforce the law without fear or favor. You know what I mean? So I think that there's a lot of good guys out there. So I don't know anyone that this has ever happened to. Do you? I hear about these things, but there's never been anyone who's like, yeah, I did it and it worked. You know? I don't know. Just, anyway. So, look at this. They're trying to tell you that it's not the injection, but just alcohol that's linked to all these cancers. Drinking alcohol is linked to 6 types of cancers, but not the government injection that we still don't know what the hell's in it. Just take and shut up. Not that at all. I don't believe any of the stuff that they push. I don't believe a single bit of it. You know why? Because all those octogenarians, or centenarians, sorry, the ones that are like over 100, every single time you ask them, what do you do to live long? I'd be happy and I have a drink every now and then. Not alcoholics. Like, seriously, learn the difference. But I don't believe this stuff. I don't believe it. So a family, this is Newsweek, focused on a baby's first steps. They missed the 3-year-old wielding a knife. It's all on video. Everybody's watching this baby take her first steps. But yet in the background is a 3-year-old with a knife. And it was their daughter's birthday. They were 1-year-old. And unfortunately, Newsweek buries the lead all the way down at the bottom of the article because this person needs to go back to J school and learn how to write a proper story. But they said that the toddler was trying to get the cake because they used a knife to cut the cake. They were trying to get the cake knife to lick the cake off the knife, which is scaring me even more. And so it just literally in the background is this kid wielding a giant knife. It's funny and also scary if you're a parent because you're like, you know how quickly that could happen. Oh, by the way, 23andMe is selling your DNA. So if you ever use that, which is why I've never used anything like this. Yeah, they're selling all your genetic information. They're on the verge of being, they shut down their in-house drug development until last month. They've been laying people off. And they're selling everything, including their 15 million customers' DNA material. Yeah, look at that. This is apparently I Gotcha by Greenflow, the theme song of Floridians who are stuck in the Blue Ridge Mountains right now. Apparently, that's the thing Floridians do this time of year. They go to the Blue Ridge Mountains. And the Florida state government was like, are you a Floridian? And are you stuck in the Blue Ridge Mountains? I Gotcha. So they're getting them. I'm not even kidding you. This is literally what's happening. I was reading this. It said, Governor Ron DeSantis launches Operation Blue Ridge. I just think it's like they, like some of these southeastern states that are not Democrat ran, it's like they already got a plan for everything. Like, I'm just now learning that this is how Floridians do fall. They go to the Blue Ridge Mountains and they're stuck there, and Florida's already got a plan for it. So they have, it's literally called Operation Blue Ridge, and it's a multi-state agency response to get Floridians that are stuck in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I didn't know that. They said that it's literally a major relief expedition to other states. They just got hit by a Cat 4. Dude, if I stub my toe and like fall down and drop something, I'm done for the day. Like, they get hit by a Cat 4 and they're like, all right, we got all this situated. You stuck in Blue Ridge Mountains? I gotcha. We're coming up to come get you. And it's like settled. This is wild. They got it all set, man. They're sending 10 truckloads of water, over 100 Starlinks, a communication unit strike team, 1 all hazards incident management team, and a telecommunications emergency response task force. And this is a long list of the things that they're using here. The Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida State Guard, Florida National Guard, Florida Department of Transportation, Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, Florida Law Enforcement Coordination Task Force, Law Enforcement Strike Team, all of these. They're all coming together. Launching Operation Blue Ridge to assist Floridians seeking rescue in Western North Carolina, Blue Ridge Mountains, and Tennessee Valley. And you can find it at floridadisaster.org/Operation Blue Ridge. I'll be dang. I will be dang. I mean, this is wild. So they're already, where was Biden, by the way?
On the beach.
Oh, correct. That's right. I mean, all weekend. Literally, like, I don't look. I get that people in elected office, they can multitask. You know, they can go out and eat with their families and do whatever. Biden, though, this wasn't a one-off. Legit. And it was, what, wasn't it since Thursday, actually? He has legit been, had like an extended weekend, and he's been pictured. I have like 5 or 6 different images of him on the beach doing what Trump said he would never do, sleeping in a chair on the beach, literally asleep, mouth catching flies on the beach. That was what Biden. And then where was Harris? She was at a ritzy Las Vegas fundraiser, and she was just doing fundraisers. So it's not like they went out and had a meal with their family and then they got back to response, or they were in touch the whole time. I mean, he was for hours, because the press sits out there and watches him. He sits there for hours, hours. Nobody know aides coming up, nothing. He's just sitting there for hours on the beach. You wouldn't even know that he's the president of the United States, and a major Category 4 hurricane came and hit in multiple states, and you have 100 fatalities. You wouldn't even know it. With hundreds of people missing, you wouldn't even know. That's what he was doing. So there's a big difference there. You know, no one would begrudge him a meal out with his family or friends, but all weekend on the beach and not in communication. Today was the first time that we heard him say anything. Really? You're the president of the United States. Come on. That's just weird. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just a massively, massively, massively different. Massively different response.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.